My name is Garland Robinson. In this lesson, we want to study about prayer. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. This is what Paul wrote Timothy on the great theme of prayer. No less than 42 times throughout his letters, Paul urged the saints to pray. This is also emphasized in Luke 18:1, where we read that Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. It is through prayer that man speaks to the Father in heaven above. By prayer we present oblations of praise in His courts of glory, and we ask the favor of God that gives every good and perfect gift. Prayer spoken softly in a closet will resound in the halls of the palace of the King, for God hears and answers our prayers. There are several points we need to understand about prayer. Number one, we must know what prayer is. Many Christians have become disheartened and fail to pray because they don't know why prayer is not always fruitful. But a wise, loving father doesn't grant his child everything the child wants. Rather, the child asks the father for what he wants, and the father gives the child what he needs. We find in Matthew 7 and verse 11, If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good gifts to them that ask Him? We must pray fervently, expecting God to grant us all that we ask, yet still we must temper our petition with, Not my will, but thine be done. We need to ask, Lord, teach us to pray, and then we need to go to the Bible to study the Word to find what is acceptable prayer. Does God hear and answer your prayers? Number two, we find that selfish prayers are useless. James tells us the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much in James 5:16. But there are also prayers that are useless. One must have the right motive in prayer if you want to find favor with God. James also said, Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it on your own lust. James 4 and verse 2 and 3. Many people don't receive blessings from God because they fail to pray for them. But there's another segment that pray and do not receive because they pray selfishly. God has not promised to grant our selfish desires, and He has surely set an example for us in unselfishness in giving His own Son to die on the cross. Prayers for that which we consume on our own lust, they're not going to be granted. We must learn to pray for that which will bless all of mankind, and as a result, we'll be included in that prayer. Then number three, prayer will not always avert trials. Many have the notion that prayer is a quick release from trials and trouble, but prayer does not serve that purpose. Jesus prayed three times for the cup of suffering to pass, but it was still necessary for Him to die. Paul prayed three times for his thorn in the flesh to be removed, but God's reply was, My grace is sufficient for thee. Paul was then content and said, Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. We must pray for healing from infirmities and release from pain, but that doesn't mean that we'll receive it. We've got to also recognize that God may not see fit to grant our request. He may see that trials and tribulations can work for a greater good in our own lives. But this may not be shown in a sudden return to health. This may be fulfilled in heaven above, and we need to be patient and wait. Number four, prayer is no emergency panic button. Many look on prayer to get us out of chaos of our own making. Young people sow their wild oats and then ask God for their crop to fail. Older people live for the devil and then ask God to reward them for a righteous life. One avowed atheist prayed something like this when he was dying. O God, if there is a God, save my soul if I have a soul. Save my soul from hell if there is a hell. God is no push-button deliverer from the retribution that comes as a result of our own wickedness and our own deeds. But we can turn to Him confidently in prayer if we're willing to listen and do what He says. Notice what we read in Proverbs chapter 1 and verses 24 to 30. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me and I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Oh, what a sad picture indeed. You can't expect to sow your wild oats and turn to God in a moment of desperation and have Him to hear you. It doesn't work that way. You can't use prayer only as a panic button. Number five, prayer is not a formality. Prayer is not merely a psychological release of our emotions that are bound up within us. While praying may help ease tensions that build within us, the real power of prayer is exerted from heaven. We therefore pray expectantly. In James 1, verse 6 and 7, we read, But let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. For he that doubteth is like a wave of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. We are to approach God confidently in prayer, expecting His blessings. Hebrews 11, 6 says, For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God will hear and answer prayer. Jesus said in Matthew 6, 6, Pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And then number 6, prayer is no substitute for obedience. God did not intend to save an alien sinner through prayer. Jesus stated in Matthew 7:21, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Again he asked in Luke 6:46, And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Through our obedience we become servants of righteousness. This gives us access to God in prayer, for as His children, we can address Him as Father. But a child of the devil can't call to his Father in heaven, for his spiritual father is Satan. He must change his relationship before his prayer can be effective before God, because it's only God's children that have the right to pray. We find TV and radio personalities continually telling people to kneel and pray down by the radio or television, and they'll instantly be saved. There have been those in the past telling people to come down to the altar, pray at the mourner's bench, and you'll be saved. Well, there have been large groups that have mourned and screamed and cried as they sought to pray their way through, but it did not happen because that's not how salvation comes. That's not the way it's found in the Bible. We do read of some that were screaming and crying and praying and beseeching their gods of idols to come and help them. That was the 450 false prophets of Baal. But you know it was of no good because salvation does not come about through the means of prayer. We need to remember this, that no inspired man ever told an alien sinner to pray. No one was ever told to be saved and then to be baptized. But denominational preachers today have that order reversed. They tell sinners to call on God as Father and claim then to be baptized later and expect to be saved. But friend, it doesn't work that way. Then number 7, are you qualified to pray? Prayer is not acceptable merely because one feels saved, merely because they are religious or they may be sincere or conscientious. Paul was both honest and sincere in persecuting the church. But though he was conscientious, he admitted he was the chief of sinners. How one feels is not evidence to be trusted. That's not how salvation is determined. Remember how Jacob looked upon those bloody clothes, thinking that it was his son Joseph? And he said in Genesis 37:35, I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. He sincerely thought that Joseph was dead, but it was a lie. His feelings made it feel real, but the reality of it was not that way at all. He felt his son was dead, but all the while Joseph was on his way up down in Egypt. When one trusts in his feelings and discounts what God has said relative to salvation, his prayers are in vain. You can know that you're saved when you've done what God has commanded you to do. Don't spend time in useless prayer when God demands obedience. Even Christ learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8 and 9. And it's only when we obey the gospel that we will be saved, that we'll be blessed by God. Obedience to the gospel comes about when one has heard the word of God. In John chapter 6, verse 44 and 45, "And they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh unto me." That's why the Lord said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." People must hear the word of the gospel. And when they hear that word, they are to believe that word. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Jesus also said in John 8, verse 24, "Except ye believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." We understand from John 3, verse 16, that God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So faith is essential to salvation. Even though a lot of preachers want to stop right there, we must not stop there because Jesus didn't stop there. He says in Luke 13, verse 3, again in verse 5, "Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." When those on Pentecost wanted to know what to do to have forgiveness of sins, they were told to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. God commands all men everywhere to repent, Acts 17, verse 30. And then one must confess faith in Christ. Unless we confess faith in Christ, we cannot be saved. We read in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33, "Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven." Again, men want to stop right there, but the Lord goes on. He commanded the apostles on the day of Pentecost to tell those people what to do to be saved: repent and be baptized, Acts 2:38. In the Great Commission, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," Mark 16:16. Friend, won't you be baptized? If you truly believe, repent of your sins, confess faith in Christ, you can be baptized in order to become a child of God. Then your prayers can be heard.